Chapter 4. Ellie Cooper, the director's secretary, nodded at the door to the inner office.
"You're to go right in," she said.
She brushed a lock of blonde hair behind her ear and studied the screen of her phone, frowning and wrinkling her nose.
"Thanks, Ellie," said Ian Hadley.
He knocked on the director's door and pushed it open. There was already three people sitting in front of the director's desk. Hadley frowned. He'd hurried up from his office as soon as he got the message from Ellie, so he wasn't late. The director was sitting behind his desk. Hadley had never spoken to Giles Pritchard before. He had seen him in the lift several times. He was in his early 50s, with slicked back hair and metal-framed spectacles perched on his hawk-like nose. He had taken off his jacket and loosened his tie.
"Ian, good man, pull up a chair," he said.
The three people already sitting there turned to look at him. He knew two of them. John Fretwell was in charge of B Section, which handled protective security for MI5 and vetted all staff. Next to him was Liz Bailey, who was responsible for building security at Thames House and MI5's operational properties around the country. The third chair was taken by a man in his late 40s, maybe early 50s, square-jawed and with close-cropped hair and a nose that appeared to have been broken several times. The man looked at Hadley, his face impassive, and Hadley knew instinctively that he was Special Forces, almost certainly with the SAS. There was a spare chair by the window, and Hadley carried it over. He placed it a couple of feet away from the stranger and sat down.
"So, just to bring you up to speed, the information given to you by Sally Page is in fact correct. The footy house in Wimbledon has been breached, and we are looking at 7 confirmed casualties."
He looked down at a notepad on the desk in front of him.
"Jane Burkett, Anthony Watson, Drew Mountford."
He took a deep breath to compose himself.
"I'm sorry," he said. "You and I go back a long way."
He looked down at the notepad.
"Fiona Hyde, David Hansard, Mohammed Chowdhury, and Afifa Faruqi. All dead, clearly shot by professionals. The hard drives have been taken, as has the CCTV hard drive and the thumb drives." "My God," said Hadley. "They were obviously well briefed and knew exactly what they were doing," said Pritchard. "We have absolutely no idea who they were or what they were after. I need to make it clear that at this stage, we are keeping this under wraps as much as possible. If there is a terrorism element, we don't want to be handing anyone any propaganda victories. The police have not been informed, and we are handling this in-house, though we will be using police resources as and when necessary."
"Forgive me, but it's going to be very hard to keep a lid on this, Giles," said Fretwell.
Fretwell was in his 40s and had been bald since his late teens. He had compensated by growing a beard that he kept neatly trimmed.
"The victims all have friends and family, and we had a team out to check on the house, who obviously know what happened."
"The team has already been spoken to," said Pritchard. "The Director General's view is that we wait until we know who the perpetrators were before deciding how to handle any announcement. At the moment, loop as to who knows what happened is small and will stay that way."
He turned to look at Hadley.
"Ian, what's the situation with Sally?"
The question caught Hadley by surprise. He was still trying to assimilate the information he'd been given, that 7 of his staff were dead. He shook his head, trying to clear his thoughts.
I've spoken to her twice now, and I'm afraid she's given me very little information. She said the occupants of the house were dead and that the killers were now trying to kill her. The first time she called, she had just been shot at in the street, and she had to cut it short because she saw their vehicle, a black Mitsubishi Outlander."
He saw the look of expectation on Pritchard's face, and he shook his head.
"She didn't have the registration number. The second time, she was in a taxi heading to Thames House. We were cut off. I think the car was attacked."
We need to know where the taxi picked her up, said Pritchard. He looked over at Fretwell. Can you get on that, John?
Of course, Fretwell said.
And what's her situation now? Pritchard asked Hadley.
Her phone is off and we don't know where she is.
Pritchard sat back in his seat.
What can you tell us about her, Ian? She's been with the footsies for almost 2 years, which is quite a bit longer than usual.
Hadley kept a fixed smile on his face as he considered his options. The fact that the director knew how long Sally had been in the house meant that he had almost certainly looked at her file, which meant there was every chance that he had seen his assessments of her. Lying to your boss was never a good idea at the best of times, but when you worked for the security service, an untruth could be a career killer.
She performed well in her induction tests, but my feeling is that she has yet to live up to her potential, he said, choosing his words carefully.
I understand that, but most footies move on after 6 months. Most of them are very keen to work at Temps House, to be where the action is, as it were. They see being a footy as a chance to prove themselves.
And therein, I think, lies Sally's problem, said Hadley. She doesn't seem to be much of a team player, very much a loner. And that's never a good thing, as you know.
Pritchard didn't nod or smile. He just continued to look at Hadley, leaving a silence so that Hadley would fill it. A standard interrogator's trick. The counter was to sit in silence, but Pritchard would spot that gambit immediately and conclude that he was being defensive. So Hadley smiled and continued.
Let me give you an example. Sally is a keen runner. She lives a few miles from the house and she runs to and from work, rain or shine. She showers in the house and it's disruptive.
Did someone complain?
No, not officially, but as I said, it's disruptive.
We have people run to work at Tem's house and cycle. It's hardly a reason to block promotion.
Sally isn't being blocked, said Hadley. I just feel that she isn't ready yet for a move.
Because she isn't a team player.
Exactly.
Pritchard nodded, but his face remained neutral.
Do you have any idea why she wasn't killed in the house with her colleagues?
She didn't go into any details.
Did she say why she wasn't in the house at the time of the attack?
Hadley shook his head.
She was very rushed both times.
What was she able to tell you about the attackers?
Asked Pritchard.
She couldn't say much because of the driver, but she gave me a very brief description of one of the men. A Caucasian man, aged between 30 and 50, bald or with a shaved head, wearing a black jacket. That's all I got. And then she said she had to go.
Fretwell took notes on a small pad.
Go, said Pritchard. Go where?
End the call, I mean. She sounded stressed. I called back, but her phone is off.
So all we can do is wait for her to call again?
Hadley nodded.
I'm afraid so.
Pritchard looked over at Fretwell.
We need to ask the Met to increase their visible presence in the area and get any unused armed response vehicles out looking for black Mitsubishis.
Fretwell nodded.
But other than that, I can't see there's anything we can do except wait for Sally's call, said Pritchard.
He looked over at Liz Bailey.
What's your take on this, Liz?
Bailey was a former police officer who had reached the rank of superintendent before transferring from Northumbria Police to MI5. She was a tough, no-nonsense Geordie with 3 grown-up children and a husband who produced wildlife documentaries. Her hair was greying, but she refused to dye it, though her makeup was always flawless and her nails were perfectly manicured.
It's obviously not a random home invasion, said Bailey. They knew what they were after, but more importantly, they clearly knew the location of the property and that it is a closely guarded secret. It's held by a shell company. All the bills are paid through a footy account. There's nothing to link it to MI5. All the footy properties are run on that basis.
So, there's been a leak, either here or from the house itself.
Pritchard looked back at Hadley.
How many footies are currently working out of the Wimbledon premises?
Sally, the 7 who were...
Hadley couldn't bring himself to say killed. He took a deep breath.
I'm sorry, there were 10 working out of the house today. 2 were on the road, Sonia McConaughey and Tom Peters. 3 more are on holiday. 1 of them, Angela Levin, is out of the country, actually on her honeymoon in Marbella. The other 2, Louise Chadwick and Hamid Kadri, are on short-term leave. Chadwick is back tomorrow. Kadri is due back next week.
You've spoken to McConaughey and Peters?
Hadley nodded.
They'll finish their assigned tasks and then come here to Thames House.
Let's pull them in immediately, said Pritchard.
He looked at Bailey. Keep them separated until they've been interviewed. He looked back at Hadley.
Get Chadwick and Kadri in here too. Again, separate rooms until Liz has arranged for them to be interviewed.
You don't really think they had anything to do with what's happened, do you?
Asked Hadley. Pritchard looked at him coldly over the top of his spectacles.
I don't know, Ian, and I'm not rushing to make any judgment. We'll take it step by step.
Understood,
said Hadley. Pritchard sat back in his chair. How many people would know the location of the house? He asked.
That's a difficult question to answer, said Hadley.
Try.
I don't mean I'm reticent about answering. It's just a difficult number to pin down, said Hadley. Everyone in my department, obviously. So 6, including myself. We would obviously know the locations of all the footy premises. Liz handles security for them, so her department would also know the locations. We have 2 in London, 1 in Edinburgh, 1 in Cardiff, 1 in Manchester, and 1 in Bristol. But everyone who has ever worked in the house would also know its location. And that's the number that's difficult to pin down. We have anywhere between 20 and 50 people a year assigned to that house, depending on our recruitment figures. Those numbers have increased over the last few years, and the house has been in use for just over 20 years. So, ballpark figure, anywhere between 400 and 1,000. I can get you the exact figure. It won't take long.
Let's do that, said Pritchard.
Plus, we have retired employees who finish their employment as a footy. Again, I can look at the files and put together a list.
Good, said Pritchard.
Somebody must have leaked the location of the house, and we need to know who that somebody was.
When Sally phones, does she call the office or your mobile?
Office.
You have someone monitoring your phone, I hope.
Of course.
Good. When she does call back, you need to get her location and tell John immediately. John, you need a collection team ready to go at short notice.
Not a problem, said Fretwell. I was thinking 2 teams and then we get 1 south of the river now. It might save time down the line.
Pritchard nodded his approval. He looked at the man to Hadley's left.
Alan, do you think we could have 2 of your people per car, so 4 in total, suitably armed?
The man nodded.
I have 4 on standby as we speak, he said,
leaving Hadley in no doubt that he was with the SAS. In all probability, he was a member of E Squadron, a composite group made up of Special Forces soldiers from the SAS, the SBS and the Special Reconnaissance Regiment, who worked directly for MI6 and MI5. MI5 officers were not licensed to carry firearms, and E Squadron were used for the tasks that were too sensitive to be carried out by the police.
Okay, now does anyone have any idea what's going on?
Asked Pritchard. Why would anyone want to kill our footies? All they do is maintain legends. They're not involved in active investigations. The fact that the hard drives have been stolen suggests that they are after information. But what? Do any of the legends use the Wimbledon house as an address? Asked Bailey. Hadley nodded.
Some, yes.
You're thinking revenge? Asked Pritchard.
Bailey nodded.
If a target discovered that a legend using that address was moving against them, they might just turn up with guns thinking they'd find one man, she smiled.
Or woman.
They burst in and discover 7 people. They start shooting.
So they killed everyone without realizing that it's an MI5 workplace.
The whole point is that it looks like a regular house, said Bailey.
But when they get inside, they realize what's going on. That's why they've taken all the hard drives. They assume that it's an investigation center. Pritchard nodded.
Okay, that being the case, we need to know every ongoing investigation that uses the Wimbledon house as an active address.
He looked at Hadley.
Presumably, Susan Murray would have a record of every legend she has given out, so she could compile a list of those legends that have the Wimbledon house on record.
Absolutely, said Hadley. Neither she nor I would be aware of the nature of the investigations, obviously. But we would have a list that you could work on.
Let's do that ASAP, said Pritchard. So in terms of investigations, we're looking at what? Drugs? Terrorism? Organised crime? And the perpetrators? Homegrown terrorists? Local drug gangs? Russians? Eastern Europeans? The Balkans? The Chinese, maybe? The usual suspects. We need to narrow down that list, and we need to do it quickly.
He looked at his watch. Right, Ian, can you go and talk to Susan Murray and get a list of active legends? And as soon as Sally calls in, I want to know. Hadley frowned. Was the meeting over? Or did the director just want him out of the office? Pritchard nodded expectantly and glanced at the door. It was the latter, Hadley realized. He got to his feet and headed for the door. No one said anything, but he knew that as soon as he left the office, they would start talking again, and that there was a good chance he would be the subject of at least part of that conversation.